You are listening to the Toxic Mold Podcast with Steve Worsley, the toxic mold expert and your number one source for mold consulting and mitigation in the USA. Let's dive into a brand new episode. Before we get started on this episode, here's a not so short disclaimer. While all attempts have been made to verify the content provided in this podcast, neither the podcaster or the producers assume any responsibility for errors, omissions, or alternative interpretations of the issues discussed here. All information stated in this podcast is the opinion of Steve Worsley. Steve Worsley is a mold specialist with over 25 years of experience in the construction and mold industry. The Toxic Mold Podcast is for information sharing purposes only. The views expressed are those of the podcaster and his alone. These views should not be taken as expert instruction or commands. While there may be references to medical conditions and symptoms, all podcast episodes are the opinion of Steve Worsley, and any medical questions or concerns shall be addressed with the appropriate licensed medical professional or professionals. As the podcaster refers to different mold types, please be aware that Steve Worsley is not a microbiologist, and questions concerning mold specifics should be answered by the appropriate professional. Steve isn't, nor does he offer, any legal advice. For any legal advice, you must speak with a lawyer. The listener is 100% responsible for his or her own actions. You can check out Steve's books on Amazon. Just go to Amazon and search for author Steve Worsley. You can also take Steve's courses on Udemy or Skillshare, and you can find out more about those at cnccontractorservices.com. Now, let's get to the episode.
Hello, you're listening to the Toxic Mold Podcast with myself, Steve Worsley, and we have my wife, Cassandra, again. Yeah, how are you?
Doing good.
You get next week off.
Oh, that's right. You have your interview.
Yes. So today is episode 256, and today's topic is something that I get asked quite often, and like every answer I give when it's mold, it's complex. But it's, what can I keep from our moldy home and take to our new home, not new construction, but new to them.
Okay. So, that is a question that comes up a lot, because I think people seem to go on one end of the spectrum or the other when it comes to answering that question.
Yes. My answer, this is typically how it goes. What can I save? I was told we have to throw everything away. And I say, yeah, you know, for us, especially in writing, that's what I have to tell you. You have to throw everything away, because I don't know all the ins and outs. There's a bunch of factors that come into play. Like, how much mold growth was there? Was there mold growth on certain belongings? What is their health? Like, what did the testing results show? What type of testing did they do? My point is there's tons of factors that come into play, and it's not a simple answer. So that's why I wanted to address it on the podcast, just to explain it to our listeners, but on the other hand, make them understand it's not a simple, somebody gets in a Facebook group and asks. We can't just answer it that easily.
Well, and I think it's also not a simple answer because, you know, Jon Kabat-Zinn, who's the father of mindfulness, said, wherever you go, there you are. So the things that led to mold being in your furniture, in your house, on your things, if you don't change the behaviors that contributed to those things, even in buying new furniture where you spill juice on it, or you know what I mean? Like,
yep.
Wherever you are, wherever you go, there you are.
Exactly.
So you have to address certain things to make sure that even if you're throwing away everything in the current home, that you're not carrying over the habits that could lead to moisture intrusion, that could lead to toxic mold in
exactly.
The next home.
Yeah, and it's not a simple, you got rid of everything, so now you have clean or healthy indoor air quality. That's not how that works.
Yeah.
And once again, on the other hand, I want our listeners to understand that cross-contamination is a major concern, because I want to just touch on this. We won't go too deep into it. But our listeners got to remember, we have a mold problem. And if they're toxigenic molds, we have mycotoxins, which are going to be two separate things. They could be in two separate areas. So it's not easy to just answer the question. But like you said, their habits would dictate a lot of what they're going to do. Because if you just, it'd be like throwing out all the unhealthy foods in your house. Next week when you go to the grocery store, you buy all the junk food again.
Mm-hmm. That's very true. And the other thing is, and I don't know if this
this doesn't really connect to what belongings should you throw out. I'm always skeptical of bringing belongings into our home that I don't know where it's been.
Exactly.
Like people who, if you buy a used mattress, where's that used mattress been?
Exactly.
If you buy used furniture, was that used furniture in a moldy? Who knows?
Yeah. And it, you know, a lot of times when you see stuff like that for sale, you know, people always say non-smoking home, pet-free home. Like those factors are important. But something I want to touch on is at the end of the day, it's not my money. It's not my possessions that have sentimental value. Like, so it's easy for me to just say, throw it all away. Mm-hmm. And like I said, it's a, from a liability standpoint, that's probably the best way to word it. We have to just say, throw everything away. And that's why our listeners hear that all the time. Does that mean you have to throw everything away? No.
Well, let's talk about the basics, though, because I think some people think, okay, we have a toxic mold infestation in our home, but if I take all of our clothes to some fancy cleaner, we can still keep those clothes. What do you say to that?
That if they do it properly, yeah, you can do that.
Okay.
Now, once again, it all depends on people's budget. If you can't afford to go buy all new clothes, then you're going to have to figure out a way. And I want to be clear with this, and I probably should have brought this up right from the get-go. You should always get a mold specialist involved.
Yep.
And that doesn't mean, like, you know, we've talked about this before. Like, we can't work for free. For me, it would end up having to be a consultation. If you send an email to info@CNC, you're not going because of my time that's involved. And here's the thing, I'm not being mean about it. I already addressed it. It's not a simple answer because I have to ask our listeners, you know, have you done mycotoxin testing on your body? Did you do any mycotoxin testing in the home? If you did, where was it done? What are the results? Like, there's a lot that I have to gather, a lot of information. So it's not just a quick, easy answer. I will have invested several hours into it. So just to be clear with our listeners, you should get a professional involved.
And at what point, I guess, I don't think you've ever explained this to me. At what point does somebody who's living in a moldy home need to throw out everything if that's what they're deciding to do? Is it before? Is it after mold mitigation? Is it before? Like what?
It's part of the mold mitigation.
Ah, okay. See, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So it's once again, this is why you get the professionals involved. Like there's different procedures, scope of work, work plans, however you want to use the terminology. But if you have a mold infested home, and when I say the home, the entire home, is that what you're asking?
Yes.
The entire home is what we're going to classify it. There's not just like a containment down in a family room or a laundry room. During the mold remediation, we're going to deal with those items. And how we deal with it, I'm not going to go over every step, but every company has different procedures. But depending on how porous the stuff is, we typically, everything either gets HEPA vacuumed. Well, pretty much everything gets HEPA vacuumed. But on top of that, we wipe things down. If there's things that need to be bagged, we bag it. Once again, it's not an easy answer, but that is taken care of during mold remediation.
Okay.
If you have mold remediation done, and let's say it's 2 weeks later and PRV testing's done, which is post-remediation verification, if it just fails miserably and it looks terrible, if you've already moved back into the home, the containments are down, it's going to cost you a lot of money.
Yeah.
Because And once again, this is why it's important, and it has nothing to do with this topic. It's very important you hire the right professionals, because you're going to have to bring a mold remediation company back in. And literally, we don't have to remove all the moldy sheetrock, but all of those contaminated items in the home, if there was mold still growing in it and it was viable mold, there are more mycotoxins, if it was toxic mold, being released. So it's kind of like stitching something up before you identify what caused the bleeding and stop it.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
That does make sense. So removing things is part of the mold mitigation process, but how does a listener decide what to throw out and what to keep?
So there's a few factors that we have to look at as the professionals. Is it porous?
What is porous? Define porous, please.
Will it absorb moisture? Can the mold spores be in it like a stuffed animal?
So like a living room couch is porous because you've got the pillows, you've got the fabric, you've got the wood.
Yeah, so what I would classify, and once again, this is just me and my opinion. Other listeners might listen and be like, well, that's not how I look at it. But what I would classify as porous, so let me just say, we have porous, semi-porous, and non-porous. Porous would be things like a couch that are fabric. If it's a leather couch and it's the covering's all intact, I wouldn't call that porous. This desk that's right here in front of us, that would not be porous. Mm-hmm. It has a good finish on it. Now, the sheetrock, that is semi-porous. Something that's very porous, and this isn't home, you know, household items, but is something like insulation. So for our listeners, think of something like a stuffed animal versus your desk.
Okay.
So the desk is non-porous. Mm-hmm. Now, it could be classified as semi-porous. Mm-hmm. Let's say it has
dings on it. And
exactly.
So the gloss is peeled.
Exactly. If the finish isn't there, then it can be porous.
Okay.
So for our listeners, something like stuffed animals and couches that are fabric must go.
Okay.
Because, and this is how I explain it to my clients. Think about a stuffed animal versus a rubber duck. A rubber duck, you can pretty much just clean it, mm-hmm. right? A stuffed animal, you can't do that. Now, are there treatments that we could use if someone said, you know, my daughter, you know, she's 12 now. She got this stuffed animal when she was 3 months old. We can't part with it. Then I would have to say to her, well, I don't recommend saving it, but we can try to treat it. We can HEPA vacuum it. There are things we can try to do. After that's done, we literally would have to test it. And my point is the amount of time and work it would take for us to salvage it and then test it to make sure it's not going to be harmful to your daughter, it would probably be easier. And once again, it's easy for me to say as the professional, you're probably going to just have to tell your daughter she's got to get over that. Does that make sense?
So then porous includes things like pillows, bedding, mattresses,
yes.
Infant mattresses,
yeah.
Curtains.
Yep. So think about it this way, and I've talked about it before, like the wipe test. If there's dust on this desk right here, and I wiped it, and it's smooth, you would leave a line in it. If I tried to do that same thing on your daughter's stuffed animal, it wouldn't do that.
It would smear.
Well, if you could even tell.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
It's porous enough that...
So it's taking yes. it in. Okay.
And so think about it this way. If you hit the stuffed animal, like hit it like that, think about all the stuff that would pop
yeah,
out of it.
Dust.
Yep.
Yeah.
So think about your couch, your mattress. It would be almost impossible to get... Could you do it? Yes, with a HEPA vacuum, but it would be very difficult. So for the most part, once again, like it's easy for me to just say toss it. But what if you have like old portraits?
Yeah.
And you don't have any copies of them? I mean, we're in the day and age where...
Yeah, make sure everything's digital.
Exactly. But are there things we can do? I talked to a couple guys out in Maryland, and they know of, or I don't know if they work for a company that has it, but there's a warehouse where they store all this stuff during the mold remediation. They treat it. They go through their processes. And then on top of that, they have things like something like a portrait that's worth a lot to the people, mm-hmm. sentimentally, not really value-wise. They can use dry ice, and there's methods you can use to try to get rid of that mold. But I guarantee you that in their paperwork, they have disclaimers that are very clear. We don't guarantee any of this.
Correct.
And so I guess my point is there are things that must go. Mm-hmm. To me, that would be stuffed animals.
Mattresses,
couches.
Bedding.
Well, it all depends. When we get into bedding and clothing, you can wash it.
Okay.
So, you know, that's another thing. Like, so let's say one of our listeners is like, well, yeah, Steve, but can't I have Stanley Steamer come in and steam clean my couch? Of course you can.
And add steam, which is condensation,
yeah,
which is moisture, which then feeds the mold, right?
that's a whole other rabbit hole. But if people are asking that, mm-hmm. you know, because I'm sure people are like, well, can't we pay a professional to clean it? Of course you can. But I want to go back to that smack test. Like, think about that. Think about all the bacteria, mold, and mycotoxins that could be in that.
Well, and I think it's also worth thinking about how much sentimentality is worth to you if it means that down the road you have a resurfacing of a toxic mold problem because you kept that thing even after cleaning
it. Exactly.
You have to weigh the pros and cons and decide whether that is whether that's a risk you're willing to take.
Exactly. And that takes me in the other direction. Like you said, some people, the extreme, they're extreme on the you have to toss everything. And some are like, no, you can save everything. So something I want to address, and this is just a hypothetical. What if, let's say, you found some mold up in an attic? You're mold sensitive, or your wife, or your spouse, whoever, your child, and you're going to move out of your home. Should you throw everything away? No. And the cross-contamination concern is you have a mold infestation up in the attic. There was no mold growth identified in the main living areas. What's the likeliness, and once again, this is only my opinion, what's the likeliness of taking, let's say, a desk like we're sitting at, or an office chair like you're sitting at? What's the likeliness of taking that to a new home, not new construction, but new to this person, that they would get re-exposed? In my opinion, it's very, very low. Does that make sense? But I don't want our listeners to think that I don't think cross-contamination is a concern. It's always a concern. But I don't believe you're going to take this office chair to your home, your new home, and mold in it, and it's going to make you sick.
Well, and that's why, at the end of the day, it comes back to the fact that each person has to decide the level of risk for toxic mold exposure that they're comfortable with.
Right.
If you're comfortable with a certain level of risk, then take the risk.
Yep.
If you're not, then that's different. Because for me, I'd be like, I want everything out. Like, right. I don't even like, so if it comes back, I can at least say there was nothing that we brought from that place to here.
Yeah. And I've had people ask me, like, well, can't I just steam clean my couch? Can't I just wash my daughter's stuffed animal in my clothes washer? Can't I just put a plastic mattress cover over the mattress? Well, yeah, you can do whatever you want. But at the end of the day, there are certain things that you should just toss.
But it really goes down a slippery slope, because I know in your interview with Dr. Fox, one of the questions that you talked to her about was the fact that some patients would ask her, can I heal from mold while still living in a moldy home?
Right.
And that is a slippery slope, because there are things you can do, but rarely can you heal in the same environment that's making you sick.
Yeah.
So this question of like, what do I keep? Well, like, how do you heal if you're still being exposed to things?
Exactly. Yeah. And it's, once again, that's why it's so complicated. And that's why, for our listeners, that's why you always hear, yeah, throw everything out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as I said, do I believe that's what you have to do? Is that what I would do? No. But once again, if we're going to go down that slippery slope of, well, we don't have the money, so we want to save the couch. Here's the flip side to that. You're going to have to pay a professional to come in and clean it. And if you want it verified, which I don't know any remediation company or specialist that would guarantee anything with, let's say, a mattress, you would have to test. So all the money you spent in having it cleaned, treated, whatever you want to call it, because we can't just clean it right there in your living room. We have to have what I call a neutral zone.
Exactly.
And, you know, depending on the situation, it's maybe one of those pods you have to rent. But my point is what it's going to cost you to have it cleaned and then tested and verified that it's not going to make you sick, you probably could have bought a new couch.
Completely. Well, and to add to the slippery slope, this is the importance of getting a mold expert involved. You also want to be sure that wherever you're choosing to throw belongings away from, that is your only point of toxic mold exposure. And unless you're working with an expert in mold who can help you figure out, well, okay, your house has toxic mold in it, but what about your car? What about your workplace?
Exactly.
What about your kids? Like, before you go to the extreme of tossing everything out in your house, working with an expert, you could figure out if there are other points of exposure that maybe you're not taking into consideration.
And that's a great point to bring up, which kind of takes me down my opinion of you don't have to throw everything out. Because like you said, they could get in their car and there could be exposure there. The exposure could be, even if, let's say they got rid of their car, all their clothes, all their belongings, you literally could go to work and be exposed. Like school, families, like there's so many possibilities. And that's why I want our listeners to understand. It does sound extreme. This is why we're extreme, because of liability. But on the other hand, you could get rid of all that stuff and then be re-exposed somewhere else.
But that's where mold consultations become important, because a mold expert will help you figure out where are the possible points of exposure.
Right.
To what level you'll document your symptoms. I mean, a mold expert can help you understand what's going on a deeper level, yeah, from which you can make a more informed decision.
Exactly. And I like to use the term, I don't know why, but, you know, having or hiring a mold specialist or consultant could help you walk you away from the cliff.
Absolutely.
Because it is overwhelming.
It's very overwhelming.
Mold sickness has neurological effects that could make people paranoid. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes all it takes is talking to somebody like myself that says, okay, you know, from my perspective, you should get rid of this, 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 and this.
Absolutely.
So is that clear as mud?
Clear as mud. What's your call to action for folks?
So we already said it, get a professional involved. And even if it's a consultation with myself, I don't care if it's a consultation with our competitors, get a professional involved that understands it. If you have a professional that poo-poos it away and is like, oh, that's cross-contamination's not a concern, you probably have the wrong professional. But get a professional involved. Absolutely. It's only, you know, I think our cheapest consultation is the 90 minute, and it's what, $400, $450? I'm not sure what it costs.
Something like that.
It's not that, my point is, it's not that expensive. So get a professional involved.
Absolutely.
So next week, we're going to have the Dr. Diane interview. It was a great interview. It was just over an hour. Her and I cover a lot of different things. So for all you listeners, make sure you tell your friends, your family, listen to that podcast episode.
Absolutely.
So, all right. Well, today was episode 256. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to this episode. Make sure you go to our website at cnccontractorservices.com and sign up for the mold investigation checklist. Again, go to cnccontractorservices.com and get your free mold investigation checklist today. You can also on cnccontractorservices.com find out more about Steve's courses and books and consultations. Once again, go to cnccontractorservices.com.